Before we start this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including the Stitcher Radio app for your mobile device, iTunes, our website air-raid.net, and of course at www.cairoradio.com. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 246 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed, folks. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Man, we've got a ton of stuff to get to, too. It's going to be a great show. Janae Quisenberry of the band Slowbird will be joining us here in the backyard here in a couple of moments. And we've got some emails to get to. We've also got a live show. We've got a live show coming up June 20th, Naked City Brewery. I don't know why I keep on saying that we have a live show. The tickets aren't even available yet, but they will be soon. They will be soon, folks. And it's a great lineup, and we're not gonna release anything on that yet. A bunch of exciting things coming up for the Air Raid Podcast. Oh my god. Oh my god. I'm gonna be speaking in code here for a moment because I can't really say what's happening. But there's big things. Big things happening. I'm very excited, man. I got a whole week of meetings. Whole week of meetings slated for this week. People are digging the show, man, and it's fantastic. Speaking of which, let's get to these emails really quick before we get into this fantastic chat with Janae Quisenberry of the band Slowbird. By the way, I saw Slowbird around Christmas time. It was at the Do 206 Christmas party, do206.com, great website here in the city of Seattle, and dostuffmedia.com that you can check out if it's there in your city. Great place to find out what's going on. What's going on, man, with theater, freaking geeky stuff, movies that are playing, you know, shows, comedy, everything under the sun, man. If you need a go-to calendar to find out what's going on in your city, go to dostuffmedia.com, or maybe it's just dostuff.com. Type it into a Google search, why don't you, will you? Okay. If you're in Seattle, it's do206.com, and great place to find out what's going on. Anyway, so I went to this, I was invited by Jay Cox and Rich Hobby to the Christmas party that they were throwing at the Crocodile, this excellent club. And Jay took me aside, and I was like, hey, man, who's this band Slowbird? Who's this band Slowbird that's playing tonight? And he said, dude, this is going to be your new favorite band. After you see this band live, it's going to be your new favorite band. And I'll tell you what, he was totally right. My socks were knocked off, man, to use a very cliched saying. But yeah, they blew my mind. They blew my mind straight open. So if you have a chance to see Slowbird play live, take that chance, my friends, because it is fantastic stuff, and they're so, so good. You're going to have a couple chances to see them coming up if you are here in Washington, or if you're coming to Washington for the Sasquatch Music Festival. They'll be there playing Memorial Day weekend. They'll also be at the Capitol Hill Block Party on July 24th. That's a Friday. Here in Seattle, Washington, they'll be playing that as well. So a couple of chances to see this new favorite band of yours, Slowbird. Okay, let's get to these emails really quick, shall we? Let's see. The first one here from a kid by the name of Joshua Haddon. He writes, "Hey, Aaron, I really enjoy your podcast. I've been listening to it for a pretty long time now and just wanted to shoot you an email. I'm 15, and my brothers and I have gotten into playing in a band." Awesome, Josh. That's amazing. That's great. That's great. I love hearing this. I love hearing this, man. "We play mostly Beatles music and some things, some other things, but I just wanted to show you." And he sent me a little YouTube link to his band playing the song "Day Tripper" by the Beatles. He goes on, "We are pretty good and are just looking around for any gig we can find. Although we are not perfect and the drummer is 9 years old." 9 years old, man. "My videos show a taste of what we do and I'm really enjoying it. Thank you so much, Josh." Josh, thank you, man. Thanks for listening to the show. That's awesome. It's so cool to find out that there are teenagers that are listening to this show. Because I'll tell you what, man. Josh, this is just for you. That email alone made my ego soar, my young friend. That just made my ego soar because now I feel like I'm relevant to teenagers, which is a great thing, which is a great thing. But music spans all ages, right, everybody? It sure does. And we're honored to have Josh and his friends listen to the show, or hopefully his friends. Spread the word, my friend. But that's awesome, man. A group of like 15-year-olds and a 9-year-old into the Beatles? I didn't even know that was possible anymore. I guess it was possible when I was that young. I was into the Beatles when I was that young. So that's a great thing, man. I'm glad to hear that that's still going on. Fantastic, fantastic. And I got a chance to watch the video that Josh sent us, and it was great, man. So keep up the good work, you guys. Okay. This second one, which we need to talk about just for a second. This is from listener Lanny. I'm not sure how to say that. "Your comments after the quote of the week for the Brett Morgan episode didn't really make sense to me. What gives? Did I miss something?" That's from Lanny in Tokyo, Japan. Tokyo, Japan, man. All the way from Tokyo, Japan. That's amazing. Listener Lonnie. "Yes, I was hoping nobody noticed that, but I put in the wrong quote. That episode, I was supposed to use something else, although it was still a Kurt Cobain quote, as far as I can tell. I used the wrong quote last week. Yeah, there you go. And, my comments probably didn't make sense because it was the wrong quote. That's it. That's it, man. Sometimes I make mistakes. I'm human, Lonnie or Lanny, but thank you so much for writing. If you'd like to write us an email, like to tell us how we're doing or give us a heads up on what you're doing, that's great, man. We'd love to hear about it. You can email me, aaron@air-raid.net. And, some of them we'll read on here, but I always get back to every email, folks. Always get back to every email, and I read each one. So thanks for all the emails this week, and it's great to know that you guys really dug that episode last week with director Brett Morgan of the new Cobain documentary, the Kurt Cobain documentary, Montage of Heck. That was fantastic, man. And it's actually coming up, let's see, on the 4th, tomorrow. Well, today, I guess. Yeah, the 4th. Today's the 3rd, but you guys don't know that because I'm recording it a day ahead of time. All right, let's do this. Let's get into this chat with Slowbird, Janae Quisenberry of the band Slowbird. This song is called Backfire, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Oh, during my work week especially, like, I have to get one. My body feels like it needs that, like, you know, almost heart attack every morning just to wake up.
Just to get by.
Just to get by. And it's really bad, man. And I know it's bad. And I know it's like, if I keep on drinking these things, it's just, I'm just going to die. I'm just going to die. And it's going to be sad. And people will cry.
That's what they want. That's what that industry wants.
Just tears?
No, just a lot of young people.
Dying?
They want to feed you all.
That's right. That's right.
All the energy drinks until everyone has heart attacks. And
right.
Once your heart gives out, you're probably just, you're not.
It's almost like a Logan's Run situation.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
once you get to like the age of 30, then you have to be killed.
You're just done. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. Janae, how do you say your last name?
Quisenberry.
Quisenberry. Yeah. Okay. Just like it's written.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty phonetic. Yeah.
Of the band Slowbird joining me here in the backyard. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for
having
me.
It's a real treat. So, okay. Let me give you just a little bit of backstory on when I first saw you guys. I was told, or I got the invite to one of these Do 206 like parties, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was like their like holiday party or something.
Okay.
Like Rich Hobby was dressed up as Santa Claus and he was passing out like free chocolate.
Yes.
Which was kind of strange because the chocolate was all unwrapped and stuff. And there were just
still have a box of that chocolate.
Tons of hands on
in the chocolate.
Chocolate all over the place. But so Jay took me aside and he's like, and I was like, so what's the deal with this band Slowbird? And he was like, this will be your favorite band after this show. This will be your favorite band. And he was totally right. You guys were fantastic, and I was totally blown away by your performance.
Thank you.
Yeah. And looking into it, like, you guys have been around since 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What gives, man?
We play a lot. We play out a lot.
I know you do now. Now that you're on my radar.
We used to play out so much more, but I think that's kind of the trick with like being in a band, right? Is that you don't want to play too much, or you wear your draw.
Sure. Yeah.
But when we started playing together, we had this like philosophy of like playing a ton until we weren't nervous anymore, and then we played once a month just to
keep it strong.
Keep it strong, and then every year it's just gotten kind of less and less as the shows get bigger and bigger, so that our audience is like strong and powerful. But we have a really great audience in Seattle. We love it here. We love the people that come to our shows, but we don't get a lot of like press around here. I don't know.
Well, welcome to podcasting.
Thank you. We love podcasting. Yeah. The new world where you make your own.
That's right. That's right. Totally. So let's go back a little bit. When did you get into music yourself?
Oh man. probably, I mean, I started playing in band when I was like 9, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
I played clarinet, and Matt played also when he was young. I don't know how young he was when he started, but we were both band kids when we were little.
And where did you grow up? You grew up here in Seattle?
Divorced. So the peninsula.
Where on the peninsula?
At Gig Harbor, Bremerton, Port Orchard.
No shit.
I grew up in Manchester, which is like that little tiny beach in Port Orchard.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I grew up in Indianola.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I went to North Kitsap High School.
Oh man. South. Well, I mean, only for 2 years. I didn't.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Divorce. So I.
Right. Right.
California, for Northern California for a little bit. And then,
oh, really? So that far, like your parents split that far?
Yeah.
Wow. When did they make the split? How old were you?
I was like 7 or 6 or.
That's got to be tough, man.
You know, for me, my older sister took it way harder. She
really?
I mean, she was like crying and I was like, okay.
I guess at like the age of 7, you don't really know what's going on.
I mean, you can still shape your like perspectives of like what relationships actually need to be defined.
Sure.
Like, I don't think there's a certain age or romanticism that where it affects young kids, but if you I don't know.
Yeah. You grew up all right.
You can still shape your perspective. Yeah. Monogamy, whatever, you know.
So you're growing up predominantly on the Kitsap side of things.
Yeah.
And you're playing clarinet in the
That was in California.
Oh, that was in California.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Northern California. And then I started singing.
Yeah.
When I was like 14.
Yeah.
Then I moved back and I sang here. I wasn't playing really any instrument up here. So.
But you play keys in Slowbird.
I do, yeah.
So where did that start? I mean, that's not like something you just pick
theory,
up.
Theory classes. It really was something I picked up. It wasn't like a, I loved music theory, and so that's how I learned piano.
You loved music theory?
I loved music theory. Like when I was 14, 15, I was obsessed with like the circle fifths and like, I don't know. I was kind of a know-it-all though. I love like learning.
Okay.
I love learning and like being able to, I feel like a big part of like learning and expanding your mind is being able to teach other people. And so like,
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I loved it. I loved being able to like strive.
Did you go to college?
I did. I went to school, for music originally.
Okay.
To do vocal jazz.
That's what I was going to ask.
And then I got a bachelor's of science in molecular biology.
Wow.
Instead.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
From where?
And Spanish. And then I got a minor in chemistry from Central Washington University.
That's where I went.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I would say go Wildcats, but I'm not really like a...
I was never into the sports at Central Washington. What's that?
That's the mascot, right?
Yeah, okay. The Wildcat, yeah. No, I never got into sports over there. No. I knew a couple of the football players.
You were into the rodeo side of things.
No, I was studying to be a rodeo clown.
Yes.
For the fair, for the Kittitas County Fair. No, I never, I think, and part of it was probably because the sports teams at Central were awful. They were just god awful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just
you were so far out of the loop there. You just didn't care.
Like I like being involved, yeah. But I get so bored watching sports unless there's like beer and garlic fries involved.
Yeah, yeah.
And even then, I'm not really paying attention to the sport. It's more of the eating that I'm like excited about.
You know what
about.
I just realized? And this is, you're not even going to give a flying shit about this.
I might,
but
you never know. I'm very well-rounded, it turns out.
You love to learn. So let me just pop this one out there. Is that today is this boxing match between Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather, whatever his first name is. I don't even care to know because he's a piece of trash.
No one seems to like him.
No, yeah. he's a piece of shit. But I am missing that today because of this interview and another obligation after this.
So it's half my fault.
So it's half your fault.
Thank God for DVR.
But now that I know that you don't like, you're not into the sports, like that makes it a little bit worse. That like sharpens the sting a little bit. Like you did this on purpose.
I was just, I planned it. I looked up the sports event just to make sure. I don't know. I thought that was like later in the day. I'd like, is it in the afternoon they fight?
Probably. I don't even know. See, that's it. That's like, I have no idea. I really don't know anything about it or how I would even begin to, you know, figure out how to watch it.
Well, if you're so into fighting, today is also, you're missing another big sporting event in Seattle.
What's the thing in Seattle?
The Luchador fight down in the Soto is today. So.
Oh, I'm missing that too.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's a huge deal, man.
This is just shaping up to just be awesome.
Yeah, I was supposed to go and then I was like, well, you have this podcast. Sorry, Luchador friends.
So what brought you out to Central Washington University?
It was the music program. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's so funny because then I didn't get a degree in music.
Yeah.
But I was
when
there
were you
for
there?
A
what,
while.
When were you there? What year?
Oh, man. I feel like it gets so blurry now. Like I'm getting to the age where like college was a while ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm like, wait, did I graduate? What year?
I can't remember the year I graduated. I know I was there from 2000 through 2004.
2004. I want to say, I don't even know.
Was there any overlap?
I get like so nervous. Maybe it might've been, I want to say I graduated in 2004. So I probably started in 2004.
Yeah. Yeah. Late 2004.
Yes, that's right. Because 2000 was middle school. I have to actually like think about like my middle school graduation to know when I graduated high school. Is
that's
that
great.
Weird?
That's crazy, man. Well,
I know.
You
I'm
probably
getting...
know like a lot of the same people from over there. Because I had a ton of friends. I played music over there in bands and stuff like that. I wasn't part of the music department per se. But
where did you study there?
I studied geology.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we probably even know science people.
Exactly.
Overlap. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Man,
yeah.
Did you take chemistry?
I did. I had to take chemistry and physics and
Diaz.
He's
such a musical guy, man. He plays all these chemistry professors are in this like cover band there and they'd all play like classic rock
really
songs. Yeah, Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that. Diaz, that name sounds super familiar, but I think it's because there was this professor in anthropology that was also named Diaz.
Yeah, there's a handful of Diazes.
People are listening to this right now.
I know. There's a couple Diazes. We sound pretty white right now.
Yeah. but there was, I remember the anthropology Diaz because one of my roommates, Will Truce, was absolutely obsessed with this guy. Like, totally modeled his, like, wardrobe after this guy, Diaz, and everything like that. It was so funny.
Just loved him.
Yeah. Really, really admired the guy. So you started singing in college.
Yes.
Basically, right?
Yeah.
And
No. Sorry, I don't know. I was just going with the flow there. I started when I was 14. I started singing when I was 14.
That's right.
I went to school for jazz. Yeah. Okay.
So what brought you over to like molecular biology? What was the linchpin?
It was a long
there?
Process, man, because I was like doing music and then I just kind of wanted to explore a little more.
Yeah.
And I also, this sounds really horrible, I didn't want to get up for an 8 a.m. or I want to say it was like a 7:30 a.m. piano class, ironically.
That was the one.
This is the only time for like piano too was like 7:30 in the morning. Factor. Well, I just didn't want to take it that quarter. I was like, maybe next year.
Yeah.
So and I don't know. I wanted to kind of like spread my wings out a little bit. But sure. I remember it was so funny. My advisor wouldn't let me drop the class because I had declared a major. And had to like have a meeting to discuss like very seriously like the path of my future
with
this guy. And he was like, I just think it's ridiculous that you're quitting this class so you don't have to take a morning class. And he told me this whole story about how like one of his favorite jazz singers, you know, he stopped and he quit because of an early class, and now he's doing the news every day at 6 a.m. And I'm like, I just thought it was such a funny, like, I was like, oh, okay. Well, so
he's a
so
successful,
I should,
like, news anchor.
Yeah, so he's
okay.
doing really well in journalism. I mean, that's probably more of a reason to be up that early than, like, one piano class that I could take in the evening. Like, there's no reason to be doing piano at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
No one wants to do anything at 7 a.m. They could put that class at any time.
And that's, you know, that's...
That professor was just being a dick.
Like, I would totally agree with
it's
you.
It's college. Class shouldn't start till 10 a.m. I'm just
exactly,
saying.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, like, they should realize that too, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's not... it's a mystery.
It's kind of comforting. It's like, oh, I'm not the first person to quit a class because it was early.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys should change the time.
You know what you should have said? It's like, oh, yeah, well, Bill Gates dropped out of college, asshole.
Yeah, man.
See you later. And then slam the door. So that was
super funny. And so now I'm in music still, so that's kind of,
well, sure.
That's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Small world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're doing well.
I'm doing all right, yeah. Someday.
Someday.
Someday I'll be doing really well.
There
and,
you go.
And right
there
now I'm doing fine.
Right, right. So what kind of grabbed you about molecular biology?
I love to learn, man.
Just back to that, right?
Well, I don't know. I
did you think you wanted to be like a scientist, like, and work in that field, or do you work in that field already?
So, well, I kind of went to foreign languages first,
okay.
And then my parents were like, what are you going to do with that? And I was like, well, I speak a lot of the languages.
It's the same thing my dad said about geology. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't think you should major in that.
Which is weird. I think that's a difference in generations, right? Like for me, it's like to have the knowledge and the personal development super important. I think it's, and I'm not saying if you don't go to school, that's like a bad thing, but I just think the chance to expand your mind and be able to perceive the world in a different light is super valuable. And, so I don't know. I don't actually use that degree currently. I got a job for about 2 months.
Working in a lab
as a research tech. Yeah. And I got laid off. And I remember being really butthurt. They like gave me a really hard time about being tired in the morning. I'm not a morning person. But I did a good job. I was not bad at my job. And it's not like a social job. You have to talk to people. Like
right.
Put your headphones in and you do your work. So I thought it was really weird. I was like, how do you even know if I'm tired? I'm just
Did you like working. It though? Did you like being kind of a lab rat?
I liked it in school. Like I did, I worked in a ton of labs while I was in school and I loved everyone I worked with. The rest of the industry seemed a bit judgy and weird and very not it was like competitive, but it was not in the way that you think it would be. It was it was just very uncomfortable, and I didn't realize how miserable I was there until I lost the job and I wasn't working there for about a year. And I got another job offer for no money again, and I was making more working 3 days a week in a bar, and I was like thinking about it, and I was like, you know, instead of working 80 hours a week and not being able to live where I want to live, why don't I work 3 days a week and continue doing what I love to do, which is the music. So that's kind of how I just stopped doing science. But I do miss it time to time. I used to want to go to medical school, and every time I kind of work near a hospital, so I meet a lot of doctors, and I get like really excited and talk to them about the weird doctor in Italy who's going to do a head transplant. And
dude,
stuff that
is, can you explain that to me a little bit?
I don't know.
Have you read
it's so
have
weird.
You read any of the articles on that? Because I haven't read anything on it.
I've read
just
like
seen
the journals. Like I haven't read like the scientific journals on it, but I've just I've read the like the standard media articles on it. And
so why is it happening? What is it, just for research?
It's super Frankenstein kind of like the way. Have you seen his TED Talk?
No.
Okay. It's,
he's
he
got
kinda,
a TED Talk?
He's, he watches TED Talk. It's really like the way he talks is a little creepy.
Really?
Like he's just so excited to put a head on someone else. It's so weird. But
what the fuck?
It kind of it feels very like much like he's playing God. But the science behind it is he's a super, super powerful, they basically use a super powerful laser to like cut this high, super sharp scalpel.
Okay.
So that when you make the incision on the spinal cord, it's just so smooth that
it doesn't, it just goes through the,
it's like a,
the
like
nerves.
A scratch. Yeah. Well, it'll go through it, but it'll be like such a smooth cut.
Well, right.
You can,
it misses everything.
Yeah.
It
through hormones and other triggers, you can stimulate the nerves to regrow to the other nerve, to the spine, to the transplantee spine.
Yeah.
I don't know. What I don't, it's really crazy.
So why does some guy need a head transplant
though? Well, some people have diseases like muscular dystrophy or so forth, where they can't use their body, and eventually they'll suffocate because they can't breathe, or so I can't remember what disease that the first volunteer has, but basically, like if your body's quitting out on you, but you have a perfectly good head on your shoulders,
so to speak.
So to speak, you could just keep. The hope is that you could keep living and keep working.
God, the implications of something like that are so weird, though. Yeah. I mean, can you? And this is the one article that I did read was on, like, just trying to wrap your mind around waking up one day and looking at yourself in the mirror and not having the face that you grew up with.
Oh yeah. Well, there was a face transplant a couple of years before.
Right. Right. And those are weird too.
That's also
weird. They never kind of really turn out great.
I didn't look up the pictures. I'm kind of nervous to look at them. I'm like,
it really does look like some. I mean, and more power to the people who have to have something like that done, which is like, I hope I'm never in that position.
Yeah, that's true. I fell but recently, like, got a concussion.
Really?
And I've never really been a vain person. Like, I've never really, like, I don't know.
A vain person?
Well, I don't.
Oh, vain as oh. I thought you were talking about, like, veins on
like,
the
I've
interior
never, like,
of the body.
I've never, like, been, like, super about my face. But I actually fell and got a concussion, I had this gnarly, like, scratch on my face. And I was like, oh, I really hope that doesn't scar. Like, it was like this like afterthought where I was like, man, that would kind of suck because now I have a scar on my face, like a huge scar.
It'd be
huge.
A super bummer.
Yeah, it kind of sucked. And I kind of like had a moment of like, I don't even know how to prevent this. I had to like ask my doctor. I'm like, is this permanent? Like, do I need to worry about this?
You do all sorts of remedies like cocoa butter and stuff like that.
Just vitamin E.
just vitamin
like,
E.
Yeah, you pop put a pin inside your vitamin E capsule and just put it directly on there. And
really?
I had like 3 or 4 days of doing that, and it's now it's just like a little red.
I don't even see anything. Yeah, it's like, you look great.
Thank you. I know.
Oh my God. wow, we went on a little bit of a tangent there.
Yeah.
But that's
music, though.
Right.
That's
plays
a thing.
In. I mean, you know, the guy with the head transplant will still be able to listen to music.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
The one that, the guy with the head, not the other one.
Yeah.
One will.
Yeah. Now I want to watch that TED Talk.
It's really creepy.
What's that?
Well, because it's got
man,
that backlight.
Like,
it's like, it's already like an interesting stage for it because sure. it's like a spotlight and a dark stage, you yeah, know, yeah. it's that TED yeah. talk. But it looks really creepy when he's on there because he's just like, the head transplants. He's got this like really thick
oh,
accent.
Oh God, is he Austrian?
He's, is that what it sounded like? He's Italian, but he kind of sounds, okay. I thought originally when I heard him, I thought he was kind of Eastern European because he's just got this like really evil
Well,
doctor.
That just makes the whole Frankenstein thing even it's, more like the similarities.
It's really uncanny. It's like, I kind of watch it. I'm like, God, he's like, you never thought this was possible. It's like, oh my God, this guy. He's too much.
If he has to wait for a lightning bolt I'm to little, come and strike like yeah. some big like ball or Tesla coil yeah, or something.
To like
for,
resurrect.
To, like, yeah. Then we know we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's take okay. our second musical break. And when we come back, I promise we will talk about music.
Okay. Well, that's how's yeah. that? I mean, we don't have to, but we could.
Oh, okay.
It's up to you, really.
Okay, great.
It's your show.
Yeah, my show.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back in a moment. This is Sea Salt off of... the Slow Bird album Chrysalis, which is out now, right?
Yes.
And let's actually do this. Where can we find it and get our hands on this album?
So if you're technologically savvy, it's on Spotify, iTunes. We have a Bandcamp on the internet.
So you can get it digitally and yes. hard copy.
And hard copy. You can order from our Bandcamp and... and locally in Seattle, at least, we don't quite have national distribution on it yet, yeah, but, yeah. but we do have it at like Spin Cycle and Everyday Music and
awesome.
Handful of places.
Great. So, all right. Yeah. This is Sea Salt by Slow Bird, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Train, we're on and a cliff.
You do? You have a bias towards children?
I really enjoy kids, but I like it when they're like walking and talking and have funny things to say.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same with a lot of people. Like,
yeah,
I know a couple people that just don't, like a good friend of mine, doesn't like small babies.
I mean, when they're really, really tiny before, like when they're real cries, like,
yeah,
you know, like the baby infant cry, it's like not even a yell.
Right.
Cute. That's pretty cute.
Yeah.
That lasts like 3 days, I feel like. And then pretty much from then to like when they're wearing, they can put on their own pants.
You have no idea.
No.
it gets worse. I know. Worse.
Everyone's like, oh, you love it though. It's your kid. And like, doesn't matter when it cries because it's yours. I'm like, I'm not sure that's true. I think you just want me to, you want me to have that same misery.
Do you think
people are trying to trick me into this?
This is a great conversation. Yeah. I want to have this conversation with a woman because, I see this pops up from time to time. Like people, you know, love posting about their children on Facebook and stuff like that.
Gosh, I know, yeah.
And I do it from time to time too because I'm just like, I gotta post this.
I get it. I have a cat. I post pictures of him.
Sure,
he's pretty hilarious, man.
But do you feel? Here we go. This is gonna get real serious. Dun dun dun. Do you feel that you are being a woman? Like you're pressured into like wanting children or pressured into like having children?
Well, I just, I mean, absolutely. First off, I feel bad for a lot of women. Like the second they get engaged or pregnant, their like Facebook walls and their social media is just flooded with unsolicited advice. Like you need to do this. You need to do that. Get this bra for breastfeeding. Don't breastfeed. Do this. Do that.
Sure.
Hire this wedding planner. Don't get flowers. It's a waste of money. Like all this like unsolicited advice. And it's like from people that aren't even that like close to you.
Right.
Which is like terrifying because I have like 900 Facebook friends. So I'm like never going to post a real life event on there because it's like unsolicited advice. No one wants to. I just don't understand why people can't raise kids their way. They can make their own decisions on how to raise their kids or what dress to wear or.
That's a great point because that happens a lot especially when you have your first kid. And I cannot stand it when people tell me how to do something.
No, yeah.
For some reason, when it comes to like my life,
yeah,
you know, choices or something like that.
And,
I can't stand that. I can't stand it.
Oh, it drives me
crazy.
And
I know I do it sometimes.
And it's not even me. Like, I don't have kids. I'm not getting married. But sure. I watch it happen to my older sister or to a friend. And I'm like, they're like, I'm so excited. I'm engaged. I'm like, I am so sorry. You're going to have to deal with a lot of crap in the next like 6 months to 9 years, whatever. Yeah, like the rest of your life is going to be all advice you don't want. Like that's like my biggest fear. It's not like giving up hopes and dreams or having a kid or ruining your body. It's like, oh no, you have to talk to people that you don't really care about their opinion about what you should do because it's your life.
You know what? In more ways than one, too. That doesn't just happen on social media. That happens like when you
strangers in a grocery store touch people's bellies and they're like, "Oh, your baby." It's
that's
like that's
weird
your
as shit.
Belly and your baby that. And your stranger.
Yeah. And don't touch me.
This hasn't even happened to me, and I feel so strongly about it.
Well, it happens when you have a like a little baby too, like in a stroller or something like that. People always would like, especially in this city too. Like when we were walking around with baby Tatum, you know, she was a newborn and she was a preemie too. So she was super duper small and very, very delicate. And like, you couldn't be sick around her, you know, and stuff like that. And people would walk up and try to touch her and it would just be like, no. We don't know you.
Yeah.
We're on a sidewalk.
I mean, people are that protective over their puppies on Capitol Hill. So like, I don't know why people think that it's safer to do that to an actual like infant baby.
It's not okay.
Yeah. The puppy can walk. Okay. This is an infant.
Right.
Yeah. Like
right.
Can't even defend itself.
Yeah. But do you feel pressure like that you need to have a kid?
Well, I think there's this limited, I mean, obviously there's this social perspective of you need to get married. You need to have a kid.
Uh-huh.
I don't really feel like I need to do anything. I don't really see myself committing to either of those pathways.
Sure.
Like I said, I like, you know, I like them when they walk and talk. They're pretty cute. And I think I could probably have one. I could handle one.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. Not right now.
Not right now.
Not right now. But I don't know. I always feel super weird. I have an identical twin sister.
Uh-huh.
And she's definitely...
So wait, you have two sisters?
I have four sisters.
You have four sisters?
I have four sisters, yeah.
Whoa, okay.
So I have a twin sister who's kind of at that stage in her life where she's ready to get married and she wants to have kids soon. And we're the same age.
Yeah, yeah.
We're identical, same birthday, everything. And
you look exactly the same?
Really, I guess that, similar.
That's what identical twins mean, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we're a little different looking, but
okay.
Yeah, we're very, very similar looking. And it's kind of funny. It's like she's got this like 8-to-5 job and she's settled and she has good income. Like she could have a family and get married. And those, again, in my world, those two things aren't necessarily required to happen.
Right.
They don't need to happen together. They can be two separate things.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, yeah, it is very interesting because she'll start to talk about it and I'll hear my boyfriend kind of like clench up like, well, I don't know about kids. And I'll be like, whoa, everyone gets so, so round up about it. But I mean, if that's what people want, I like, absolutely.
Sure.
You know, there is obviously hormones involved. I think people kind of forget how many hormones are involved in that. Like,
I think people tend to forget how many hormones are involved with in everything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, love exactly. is a hormone. Like it technically has addictive properties, which is why breakups are so hard. So it's like, it's kind of hard to be like, I love babies. It's like, no, like, I mean, you do probably, but I mean, how much of the things that you love are really.
Yeah. No, you just have a chemical imbalance.
It's I mean, being a molecular biologist. Yeah. That's kind of how you like have to see it. It's kind of funny.
Oh man, we've boiled it down.
It's
boiled it down.
It's just a chemical imbalance.
It's just a chemical imbalance. Yeah. That's right. So let's talk about, okay, so you guys started Slowbird.
Yeah.
You guys started back in 2011.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How did it come about? Like, how did you meet the two guys that you're playing with now?
Okay. Well, back to babies. No. I met Josh about 5 years ago and we started dating. So he's actually my significant other.
And Josh is the
guitar player.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was playing in another band when we met, and I had taken a kind of a break from music for a while under some negative energy, and I don't know, people are like really weird and competitive and
happens all the time.
Yeah. Not a lot of support. And so I just kinda didn't want to do it anymore. So I took about 2 years off during that time I met him, and he was playing in a band, which was like, eye roll, I don't want to date a guy in a band, like, ugh. But their lead singer and guitar player quit, and it was really like kind of a growing pain for him because he was thinking about quitting music, and I was like, you shouldn't quit, like, I quit, you're gonna regret it. It's like, you know, if it's a way that you communicate and a way that you like get to express yourself, you should never like lose that.
Oh, sure.
Which is like super weird that I would say that to him because I did that myself.
You did
I quit.
Yourself, yeah.
But so I was like, you know, I'll stand in, I'll play keys until you guys can find a replacement, and it'll be good because I'll like kind of like start working on my own thing for a while. And
And had you been kind of a, you know, well, you took piano in college and stuff, but did you really know your way around the keyboard at that point?
I mean, I had done some songwriting, but I was pretty bad at it
before
I quit. I mean, I was not horrible at the songwriting itself, but at piano, and because all through my science studies, I like didn't play music, and then I started kind of doing some songwriting, and it was definitely like a skill I needed to hone, but I started working with these guys. And
well, that's the best place to do it too, right?
I mean,
like really kind of forcing yourself to play with other people.
Yeah. And just,
that's where I've learned.
That's
like,
how you learn anything. Yeah.
Sure,
I mean, if you're
sure.
not in school and you have no one like making you do it, to have like a commitment every couple of days to like actually like pick up something, which is something we actually.
And be, and not only that, not only like, you know, learning to work with others with an instrument, but also being creative with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because
huge,
songwriting,
huge part of it.
Songwriting and composing, that's all a skill. And it's all, I mean, even singing, that's like, the voice is a muscle. It's an exercise. You have to train it.
Sure.
Before one of our tours, I sang, a lot of the songs are like very strenuous to sing for me. And I made us practice 30 days in a row because we were doing a 30-day tour. And I was like, I need to make sure my voice is strong enough to like sing every night for 30 days.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, it's, everything's a, everything... In my opinion, is something that you can. I'm crushing a little. I think my coffee. I think I lost my coffee. Like, hi. I'm losing my train of thought. But
we'll be able to listen back to this. Yeah. And go, that's it right there. That's the point right there.
And then you give me your energy drink.
Where Janae crashed.
Zing.
Yep.
But yeah, no. So I started playing with these guys, and eventually I kind of got impatient because we wouldn't finish anything. It was like this thing where we were playing the same kind of three jams over and over and over.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, just finish the song. So I just like finished it. I just like wrote a song. And then I was like, well, fuck it. If I'm going to write it, I'm going to sing it. And so I was like, I'm going to sing.
Yeah.
So, and again, I hadn't sang in a while. So it was a skill I needed to hone.
Yeah.
But it was good. Yeah. So now we're here. We lost.
And Slowbird was born.
Slowbird was born.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it was interesting because I feel like when I started, it was like such a different band. So that whole first year was us kind of exploring how we wanted to write and what kind of setup we wanted to have.
Sure.
We went through a series of bass players for a long time.
I was going to ask you about that because you do not play with a bass player
we
now.
We do not now.
No. It's just keys, guitar, and drums.
Yeah. Well, we had trained one guy and he decided he wanted to take a break from music. Mm-hmm. This is a theme in our band.
It's like the story of Spinal Tap, except the drummer's not dying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. But we will get him a head transplant. It'll be okay. I'd love to see Matt with a different body. Just that imagery. Man, what can you do with that?
It's like he'd have to relearn the drums.
It's like the toy with the head and the you can change like the legs and
right.
the torso.
Yeah, totally.
Could be anyone.
So when did you guys you guys started 2011?
Yeah.
Things start going well, or like, I mean, were you just like, okay, we're gonna really try to do this?
Well, we wrote like three or four. So we finished the three or four songs they had. Mm-hmm. And then I want to say like probably around like May or June of like 2011, Josh and I wrote Sea Salt.
Okay.
And we're like, this is it. The song is shit, man. It's so good. Like yeah. we just like, there's something that clicked where it's like, this is the sound or the style that we want to go in the direction that we want to go in. So we showed it to Matt and the bass player and wrote a handful of songs. And eventually those first three songs we just cut because they started to not fit.
Right, right.
And so...
Different style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're, over the years, actually, that's why Chrysalis took so long to write is we had a bunch of songs and we've performed a bunch of songs that I probably don't even remember. I don't even probably know the lyrics to them anymore. Uh-huh,
yeah.
Like, I'm sure I'd be surprised if I go through all of the videos we have and be like, oh my gosh, that song. Because if we don't love it, we just don't keep it.
Sure, sure.
And we'll try something out a handful of times, and if it doesn't fall in place, then we just move forward.
Yeah.
Because yeah.
And when was the first tour?
That was in October of 2013.
2013.
Yeah.
That and that was the first.
Like that.
Was that the first tour that you had ever gone on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you
we
loved
played
it.
A lot around here. Yeah. We played a lot around town, and then we started finally putting that album together once we like finalized like the group, the way we like our setup, just the three of us and
sure.
and how we want to play. Like we basically got sick of training bass players, so we decided to like create a system to where we don't need one because the three of us are there. We're dedicated. We want to do this.
And how did you do that? Did you added not only like a conventional keyboard, but you also have some sort of synthesizer that you're playing at the same time, right?
Yeah. So Matt actually plays the drums on a foot pedal.
Oh, okay.
Or plays...
plays the bass?
The bass. Yeah. Coffee. God dang.
Do we need a pause?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. He plays bass with his left foot while he drums foot pedals. And so the synthesizer brain
is
on his left side. So we don't have hi-hats so that he can do that. But the way we got to that was when our first bass player quit.
Uh-huh.
He quit right before our first show in Portland. And
oh my God.
Just was like, I'm not going. I'm done. And it was like 2 days before the show. We're like, oh my God. So we, what do we do? You know, naturally we get a bag of weed and we call our sound guy, which for some reason we have a sound guy at the first stages of our band. And we have the guys alternate playing bass and they record all of the parts, at our sound guy's house, and we track them, and then we put them on a computer and played them through live.
Were you super nervous about that?
Was
if it was going to work?
We were super nervous because what happened is, things. but we had a good time while we were recording it. But we added like a beat on one song. There's like this really awkward beat that we added, and then there was like on 4/4 we added a 5. It was just weird. It was like there was, and then there was another thing where we like totally missed the whole like progression. So we had to like relearn the songs to like the mistakes that we had recorded on the bass line.
Oh, really?
And then perform it to that. I mean, no one noticed because we were such a new band, but it was super funny. We like practiced to like our mistakes and like adapted. And that was kind of a cool way to work on
it. So is that, have those mistakes like stuck with those songs? No.
No, I mean, they're super weird. There was one pause that was like kind of cool, but the rest of them were like, no.
Yeah.
But so eventually down the road, when it came down to it, it was just like, well, if we could do that, you know, we can just play with the three of us, either backing tracks or whatnot. And Matt had seen these bass pedals online and decided that we were going to try it out. And it's amazing that he can do it. He hated it. He'll never admit to this, but he hated it the first practice that we did it. He was like, no, this isn't working.
Yeah.
But I was like, please keep trying, because the tone of that Moog Taurus was just so dark and rich. It really like fit our vibe. And eventually now he just loves doing it. It's like, I can't get him to stop.
Well, it definitely makes your guys' sound.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And we've veered into the newer songs. The next album's going to be a lot more synth and a lot more, it's a little dancier, but we're kind of experimenting more with like instrument placements.
I've picked
up a guitar. I'm not a master, but I'm that again, like that's a theme, is always like expanding what we know how to do.
Sure. I really dig that, by the way.
I think that's
fantastic that you, are willing to, you know, pick up new things and really just,
well, you don't want to limit yourself too young, right?
Like, well, yeah,
as,
but I mean,
as a band, I'm not young now, but sure.
But I mean, you know, like a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, like they learn their one thing. And I'm the perfect example of this, because I used to have a drum set and I tried to learn drums, and I played drums in a band that I was in for a little while, and I was not good. But I never like really forced myself to get better at it. You know, I was just like, I suck at this. I'm going to, you know what?
But I think I'm kind of that.
Give it up.
I kind of get that way with a lot of things where I kind of get uninspired with something. I'm not a master pianist. I'm not like an extraordinary pianist. I'm more about like melodies and songwriting. And if I get really uninspired, I've recently found that learning a new instrument kind of opens up this whole new wave of inspiration, and you kind of pull yourself out of that rut. And that's kind of what happened with one of our new songs, where it was like, I kind of hit a little bit of a writer's block, and then
that's really interesting.
Picked up guitar and tried it and hated it the whole way. And then about 3 weeks in, it finally got easier.
So you kind of like wrote new parts.
Wrote a whole new song. Yeah. With a new instrument. And it's
really
not like a challenging song, because the songs don't have to be that crazy complicated.
Sure.
Some of the simplest songs are like better. You want.
Oh yeah.
And space is super important. So we're trying to play a lot more with like having emptier spaces instead of like full heavy ones all the time.
Right.
So I don't know. So I'm kind of excited. I want to get to we've always written to perform and we're still kind of stuck in that. And I kind of want to get to the point where we're just writing for the album.
Yeah.
So that, cause we can adjust how we perform on any song at any time. Especially with modern technology and
You
know, Ableton and everything. So I kind of want to get to a point where like, I want the three of us to like write just a synth song with everyone on synths, or I don't know, just experiment with like different positioning of everyone. Cause Matt is so good at synthesizer. He's probably a better piano player than I am. I think it's because he's a drummer. So he's just got this like, the rhythm is just in him. It's super cool to like watch him play. When we play so differently, like when we play synthesizers, it's just such a different take on like one instrument. So it's kind of cool to like.
That's great. Oh, I'm very excited to hear the new stuff. Now, when we were standing outside during the break, you had mentioned, we were talking about Netflix, and you had mentioned that that's what you like to go. That's your go-to to cure this like after tour doldrums.
Yeah.
Like, what did you mean by that? Like, do you get depressed after you guys come off of a tour?
I think everyone does. It's
Because it's so like bam, 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 like all the time. You need to be on the road or you're with friends.
Everyone's so different.
Stuff
like
that.
It's a big ego hit. So like,
sure.
And I say that in a positive and negative stance. So it's like you leave, you go on tour, and sometimes you're playing in front of huge crowds and people are like excited and they love what you do. And you get like lots of, you know, pats on the backs and it's like you're celebrated. People are excited to hear new music and they like what you do. It's like a lot of positive feedback.
Sure. Yeah.
So you're on cloud nine. It feels great. People singing along, whatever.
And then the next day
you go to a show and there's like 10 people and two people are like, yeah, it's okay, I guess, you know, and then, you know,
and they tell you that
the promoter's like, here's $20. And
we're like, oh,
and then your heart just like, you're sad and you're frustrated and you're poor. And it's just that it's like up and it's really extreme. It's really up, really down. And there's really not a lot of middle.
Right.
And then when you come home, you're like really excited to be home. You want to see everyone. And that last, you know, like I'm home from tour. It's like coming home from like, you know, study abroad or something, you know,
yeah.
Like you want to get a drink with everyone and catch up. And then you kind of just go, then you're just tired.
Yeah.
You're just really tired and you miss being on the road because it's really fast paced too.
Right.
There's not a lot of free time. So in reality at the level that we're at, you don't really get to see a lot of the city because you drive yourself to the show.
Yep.
You get there, you want to get there early. You want to load in. It's professional to do that.
And then you take a nap.
You could get a sound check maybe if you like get there early and stage your stuff. You know, it's like this whole system. You got to find some food at some point, find parking, unload all this heavy gear. If you want to dress up for stage, you know, like if you have an outfit that you want to wear on stage or makeup, that's like, it goes so fast. And then by the time you're done playing and selling merch and pack all that stuff up, put it back in the van, you have to drive 2 or 3 hours to get a head start for the next stage drive.
Right.
And you get a hotel room, you wake up early, do the same thing over and over. It's like just every day.
Do you love it?
I love it.
Yeah.
It's the most regular my life ever gets. Like I wake up at the same time every day, all tour.
Uh-huh.
I always get a shower.
Yeah.
I like have coffee. One coffee. I drink less coffee on tour. I have one coffee.
That surprises
in the morning.
Me.
Yeah, sometimes the first tour I didn't drink coffee for like 2 weeks and I was like, I haven't had coffee. It was like weird to me. I was like, oh, I didn't even think about coffee. I don't know why. It's just like it was such a weird concept. But my life is so much more regular and then when I come home it's like, you know, I work in a bar, so I have like a day shift that's like early and then I have a lot of night shifts in a room.
Uh-huh.
And so I never get up at the same time.
Right.
I also do like modeling in Seattle and that's super unpredictable. So sometimes I'm like, I have to be somewhere at 8 a.m. and I have to be like showered and shaved and all this stuff. It's like a whole process, your nails done and dry your hair. It's like weird, like stuff I don't do on a normal basis. So it's just like, ugh.
You do modeling?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like I do a little here and there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
How'd you get into that?
The agency here in Seattle just contacted me and they really wanted to work
with
me.
They saw like a shot of the band or something? Or
it kind of was the band. Yeah. So basically I have a friend in the music industry who used to work with them.
Oh, okay.
Or knows them very well, knows the owner very well. And she saw me comment on that person's Facebook wall or something. And then sent me an email and was like, I need to talk to you.
Hey, I like your face.
I like your face. Don't mess it up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So do you like that? Do you enjoy that?
It's actually, I was really like, oh, I don't know. We'll see. But basically, when I signed with them, I was like, get me jobs. I'll work, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, I'll work as hard as you work for me. So that's kind of like my premise. And doors seem to keep opening in that direction. And so I just keep doing
it. Wow. Well,
and
congratulations.
It's really fun. It's like, it's kind of a weird, I didn't think it'd be as artistic as it was. I always thought it was kind of this weird vain thing, but, it's super cool to like create like these moods and can be really inspiring. I remember I did a shoot last year and it was like this really weird, like dark, moody shoot. And I just like got off. And I was like, I'm ready to like go play music.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the feeling of it, like translated through is like, some of it's very creative and fun.
Sometimes I am the least photogenic person.
I am,
I think,
too.
On the planet.
That's like what's funny about it. I can't take a selfie to save my soul.
No, me neither. Me neither.
And like
I took one
photos?
Good one for MySpace once.
Yeah.
And it was, it was years ago.
Yeah. I hope it was years ago. MySpace was up.
It was 2 weeks ago. Put it on my MySpace page. Nobody liked it.
Tom liked it.
All right. Good callback.
Yes.
Yeah, I did a photo shoot for the cover of the Seattle Weekly once. And it was the most stressful and strenuous thing I think I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, I feel like the first like 4 or 5 shoots, I was just always nervous and like
super.
I'm like,
nervous.
I don't know what to do. They'd be like, cross your arms. I'm like, I don't even know. How do you cross your arms? What's normal? What's natural? I don't know. And it was like super stressful. And then something clicked where I was just like, you know, I had this weird shoot where they were just like, be outlandish, be eccentric. And so I just did these really exaggerated like poses and just huge movements and weird furrowed brows. And they loved it. They were like, yeah, it's great. And I was like, okay, so it's just playing dress up, really. Like, sure. I was like, oh, just be weird. And the more weird you are, the more like they love it. So it just...
That's great.
It's kind of like an outlet for like younger me. It was like, oh, like just pretend like I'm a kid and have fun with it. And, you know, like what do you have to lose? Basically is what that kind of ended up being. And it was good for me to do that because it was kind of like a, I don't know, kind of pulled me out of my like... little shell.
I'm trying to live by that rule more and more. Like because you know, like in a band, like doing a podcast or whatever, you put yourself out there, right? Mm-hmm. And you hope people enjoy it. And then any type of like negative feedback you get, you're just like, it crushes you.
Oh yeah.
And like and so in circumstances where you're doing a photo shoot or you're doing a live show or something like that, I gotta just like I've really been harping on myself to just kind of let that stuff go.
Yeah.
Like who gives a shit
how
you look on stage if somebody takes like a picture of you posts it to Facebook or something. Yeah.
Oh, there's so many bad photos of me. It's pretty funny. Like on the Minus the Bear tour, I remember looking, because you know, to like retweet in social media, you like look up all the hashtags and the location tags.
Right.
And
yeah.
You want to, I like screenshot as many photos as I can from like fans who liked what we did.
Sure.
There's so many bad ones. And I remember just like, my sister would be like, oh my God, like.
You guys need to put something out on your Facebook page to just say, quit taking bad pictures. Photos.
Yeah, it was super funny where I just like, I'd send them to my twin sister every day and be like, for every good photo, there's like 7 of these ones. Like there's this photo of me looking like a duck, just like, an angry duck or something. I don't know. It's super funny. I was just like, yeah, that's a reality. There are some really bad photographers out there.
That is for sure.
But it's cool that, like, I mean, not to hate on the audience, because thank you for like enjoying us. That's why I look them up. You know, I'm so excited that people are excited.
Take
so
more pictures. Cool.
Take
That's
more
what
pictures.
We're saying. Yeah,
it's a skill you need to hone.
Just work on it.
Work on it.
Yeah.
More
learn how
do,
to learn
you know?
How to use a nice camera.
Yeah.
Like Janae would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Janae, when can we expect new things from Slowbird? You guys are working on the album right now.
Yeah.
The new stuff, right?
Yeah. I always get overwhelmed when people ask me about timelines. I'm always like...
You don't have to give me a timeline. You just give me a year.
Yeah. I want it out now, but... but I'm imagining...
Are you guys actually working in the studio right now?
We are in our basement studio writing songs. We're actually demoing out some songs in the next couple weeks.
Right on.
And then we have... hopefully the correct producer lined up and we're working on getting, you know, a label and a budget lined up as well so that we can create the album we want to create. But we're planning on recording by this fall. So, yeah, so we'll be in the studio recording. Yeah.
That's
and then
great,
after
man.
That, we're going to start touring and then it should be out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. And you got a couple of great shows coming up. Let's see. You guys are playing.
We have the Sasquatch Festival.
Yeah. The Sasquatch Festival. And then you're also, what did I do?
Block party.
What's going on? And block party. Yeah, you knew. I should have just asked you.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to cut that out. Now that's going to have to be edited.
There's like the whole coffee thing that you have to edit out too.
That's right.
there's probably a good 4 minutes in there.
No, nonsense. But so you're playing Capitol Hill Block Party July 24th.
Yes.
Let's see. Oh, before that though, Sasquatch coming up Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever played Sasquatch before?
This will be our first time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I went once before on. I like lucked out 1 year and like got on all these comedians' guest lists.
Oh wow!
And so I had a whole weekend of like artist passes, basically.
Oh cool! Yeah.
And after
so you got
that,
you got
like,
back to the
it was, yeah.
the hospitality area the yurt. And everything. Yeah.
I mean, it's only one yurt, you know, it's not like.
Yeah, but it's still so cool. Much nicer to be
free
back
beer.
There.
It's faster to walk around the whole festival than to walk through it. Mm-hmm. So lesson learned. And then to be able to stand on the stage and watch people is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I did that. And then I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can ever go there without an artist pass because it's so much more pleasant.
Have no idea how many times I've had that same conversation.
Yeah, it's like, it seems so stressful. Like I just cut through once and I was like, oh my God, it's so stressful to walk through. There's so many people everyone's sweaty and there's beer can piles everywhere. And the beers are like, for a tall can, I want to say it was like $7 or something.
Oh, it's even like, more than that. It's like $8.
Is it?
Yeah,
oh
it's like $8.50 or something like that. It's
oh
crazy.
My God. It's so expensive. And so I was just like, I don't know, but this year I'm super excited to go. We're going to get to play and we actually are playing the first night. And so our passes are good the whole weekend. So we're going to actually get to enjoy it because we're not on tour.
So you're going
to
stay.
Yeah. We don't have to leave. So we're just going to stay and watch as many bands as we can and, you know, meet people and, you know, just take it easy. I don't even think I'm going to drink the whole time. I'm just going to like stay hydrated.
I'm calling bullshit on that. You're
first night, you know, I got to play. I got nerves. I'll definitely drink the first night, but not too much. I don't know. It's so beautiful out there too. It's like, even if we get bored of like the festival atmosphere, there's like water.
Yeah.
You can go float down the river.
I know.
There's so much to do.
It's and it's just gorgeous out there. Yeah. Well, Janae, this has been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I'm very excited about Slowbird. And like Jay Cox said, go see this band because they will be your new favorites.
He's my favorite. I love Jay Cox.
He is a good dude. Congratulations to Jay and Jenny, by the way.
Yeah.
Who just got married.
Oh my gosh. Their photos are amazing.
Well, of course they are.
I mean.
You know, like Jenny being a professional photographer. And
every photo is just like unbearably
photography
cute.
Friends.
They're all unbearably cute. Every photo of them, I'm just like, man.
Now, like, those are two people that are extremely photogenic.
Yeah, they are.
They listen to the show. So I know you guys are listening now. super pissed off and / jealous.
Yeah.
About your photogenealogy.
Photogenicity.
Thanks.
Me too, man.
Well, Janae, thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
did you have a good time?
Yeah, this is super great. I want to do it now. It's like all I want to do. It's like in the I was in the bathroom and I was like, man, I should do more of these podcasts.
They're not all this good.
They're not. Yeah, I mean, well, yours is amazing, obviously.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Great chat with Janae Quisenberry of the band Slowbird. Once again, they will be playing at Sasquatch Memorial Day weekend. They'll also be playing at Capitol Hill Block Party on July 24th, Friday, July 24th, here in Seattle, Washington. I would urge you to go to their website, slowbirdband.com, and purchase the album, folks. Purchase this album, Chrysalis, because it is fantastic the whole way through. And very excited for new stuff to be coming from them. Special thanks to Aaron Tate, their manager, who set this whole thing up. Couldn't have done it without that guy. Let's see, runner of things at Phone Home Management. Great dude. Let's get to it, shall we? You can subscribe to the Air Raid podcast on iTunes. And if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. Give us a little 5-star rating, man. It only takes a couple seconds if you like it. We are also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, or just visit www.air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed and access our Archives tab on the website right there at the top, where you can find all 246 episodes for free, streaming directly from the website. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/ The Air Raid Podcast. Our Twitter handle is at airraidnet, or email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, people. Pledge to tell someone about the show. Tell your friends, your mother, your sister, your brother, your father. We'll even take cousins. That's right. Tell somebody about the show. Maybe even subscribe them while they aren't looking. That works as well. Here's your inspirational quote of the week as said by a 4-year-old. That's right. She's 4 now.
Wanting to be someone else is a waste of the person you are.
And obviously, that was supposed to be the quote from last week, but I think it still holds true to everything that you do in your life. So take that to heart. That's another Kurt Cobain quote. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening this week. We really, really appreciate your listenership. And it just, you know, it just makes us, it fills my heart with joy every week when I get your emails and get to talk at you for a little over an hour. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And we hope you have a great week. We're going to go out this week, let's see, with the song All That's Fearing by the band Slowbird. And we'll be back next week with another all-new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for you. Have a great week, everybody.